Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Story Shop. I'm Princess Tamalpa.
And I'm Aunt Sally. Gosh, Princess Tamalpa, it's been a long week. I kept wondering about Sammy and Anastasia and Veronica and Alfonso and...
It sounds like you want us to get on with the rest of the story about Anastasia and her adventures.
I sure do. But first, we'd better tell our listeners what happened last week, in case they forgot or weren't tuned in.
Good idea. This is the story of Anastasia, a princess who doesn't know she's a princess. In fact, she doesn't even know her name. The story began with her freeing herself from a cavern where she had been imprisoned. She then enters a new, glorious world full of unfamiliar sights and sounds, where she comes across a boy named Sammy. Like Anastasia, he flies but has had a spell put on him by his sister Veronica, who is a witch. He's caught in an updraft of air and he can't get down. Anastasia promises to try and help him and is on her way to the castle at the forest center, where Veronica, Sammy's sister, is imprisoned in a dungeon with an unusual dragon named Alfonso. Veronica and Alfonso have finally become friends and decided to shoot off some fireworks that would attract the old witch who put them there, hoping to capture her and free themselves. We continue now with the story. After Anastasia left Sammy, she skimmed along in the dusky light. The moon rose in the sky on the other side of the forest and hovered near the horizon, shining as though lit from within. As it rose, the golden light changed to a whitish-blue glow that coated everything with a fine film of moon dust. In its soft light, the trees looked human and the night seemed enchanted. Anastasia stared for a long time at the moon. She had never seen anything like it before, that she could remember, that is, except it did remind her a little of her mirror, only not so shiny. Oh, she shivered, the hairs on her bare arms and legs quivering and her skin covered with goosebumps.
I can't let Sammy know I'm scared, but it is kind of spooky to be alone. The forest looks so dark and mysterious. How will I ever find my way through it? Ooh, the trees are terribly tall, and their shadows look like long, pointy fingers.
Anastasia lowered herself to the ground. Her feet sunk into the moss-covered earth, and she could smell the pungent scent of pine needles. She shivered again, but this time from the dampness of the forest, where the light barely penetrated through the trees. Branches creaked and wings fluttered, and occasionally there was the hooting of an owl.
How am I to know where the castle is? It's so dark, and I can't see any path.
Something skimmed over Anastasia's head and cried out. Feathers brushed against her cheeks.
Oh, what's that?
Anastasia threw herself onto the ground and covered her head with her hands.
Go away!
Was the insistent reply. The creature pulled at her dress with its mouth.
It. You'll tear my clothes. Let go.
But Anastasia's pleas were in vain.
You must be a bat. Sammy said that's the only other thing that flies at night. You must be able to see in the dark.
Cried the bat, relieved at last to be recognized.
You're trying to tell me something, aren't you? Do you want me to follow you? Okay. I just hope you know the way to the castle.
Anastasia flapped her arms and kicked off from the ground again, straining her eyes to keep the bat in view, its black body blending with the shadows.
You have to go slow, Mr. Bat. I don't know my way around in a forest, you know, and I could easily get lost.
The bat hovered over Anastasia and screeched again as if to say, "Don't worry, I won't desert you." Once her eyes adjusted to the forest's dim light, Anastasia had no trouble keeping up with her friend, since she flew as easily as he did. When the bat swooped, So did she. When it soared, she soared too, both of them following the moon's light as it trickled through the trees, gleaming like quicksilver. At first, Anastasia was exhilarated with this new experience, but as they got deeper and deeper into the forest, she began to tire, unaccustomed to flying such long distances.
Gee, I can't go any farther without a rest. Oh, the trees seem to be drawing closer together. Oh, it's harder and harder to fly, and I can barely see anything. What am I going to do?
Anastasia found a place where she could sit down on the ground. She listened to the rustling of dry leaves and the cracking of branches as the night animals scurried about, looking for food, curious to know who this stranger was in their midst. The bat swooped low and skimmed over the top of Anastasia's head, screeching as it passed over, and then circled the girl as though to give her encouragement. Suddenly, a loud bang shook the forest, and the sky burst into a thousand colored particles that formed a flower before cascading down, a shower of multicolored lights.
Oh, what's that? It looks like the sky is falling apart. I've never seen so many lights. Could someone have opened a giant bag full of stars and then flung them into the sky? But where are they coming from? It seems to be nearby. If I could just get above the treetop so I could see better.
Anastasia pushed off from the ground and kicked her legs as hard as she could until she found an updraft. She continued to kick her legs and flap her arms, needing all the power she could muster to fight her way through the branches.
These are the biggest trees I've ever seen. Will I ever make it to the top?
It wasn't long before she burst through the trees and coasted over their tops, relieved to be free of the menacing darkness near the ground. And behind her was the bat, determined not to lose his new friend. He cried, echoing Anastasia's pleasure. Another skyrocket shot into the air. It scattered into a thousand colored lights, shaped like a sunflower, and then dissolved into the night.
Look! There's a clearing below, and a building just like I saw in the castle before I left the cavern. I think I've reached the castle where Sammy's sister is locked up. Hey, it's the place where the rockets are coming from.
Anastasia hovered at the edge of the trees, chin resting on her hands, gazing down into the clearing which was lit up by the full moon's bluish-white light. Shadows melted into shapes so that everything blended together.
It looks so peaceful down there, still and dreamlike, but I don't see any sign of life. Everyone must be asleep. But who set off the rockets then? Could it be the witch who Sammy mentioned?
Anastasia yawned, pressing the back of her hand against her mouth.
Oh, I don't know what's come over me. Oh, I feel so sleepy all of a sudden. Of course, I have been flying all night. I'll just close my eyes for a minute and take a nap.
Anastasia rested her chin on her folded hands and fell asleep, her body suspended by an updraft of air. Anastasia was not the only one disturbed by the fireworks display. Sleeping on a bench inside the trunk of the enormous tree where she lived, Tarantella, the old witch, was blasted to the ground by the noise.
Shivering sunfishes! What's that?
As a witch, Tarantella was used to strange things, but she didn't like surprises unless she caused them, especially in the forest where she claimed to be queen. Tarantella had no sooner made it to her feet when another blast jolted the old tree trunk to its very roots, and Tarantella was flung once again to the ground, where she lay sprawled like a limp rag.
Wait a minute! That's enough! I can't be treated like this! Have they no respect for royalty? Well, maybe I'm a touch too salty to be called royal, but I am the boss around here, and I'll have no one interfering. Rasputin, come here, you cowardly bird. What are you doing sniveling in the corner like a crow instead of the proud raven you pretend to be? Listen, you owe me something for saving your life. That coyote would have had your tail feathers decorating his cave if I hadn't snatched you away. I need your help to catch the blasted fools who are disturbing my sleep. Come on, you old faker!
Rasputin peered out from behind his big black wing with one bulging eye and inched towards Tarantella. Just then another rocket whistled past and exploded above them. Both Rasputin and Tarantella dove under the bench and huddled together as the ground rocked beneath them.
What am I doing hiding under this bench with a cowardly bird instead of using my magic? Hickety spit, hush puppies too. Rasputin and I have much to do. Rush of wind, a handful of rice. I'll close my eyes and utter twice. Over the rainbow, under the ground, take us immediately to the source of this sound.
No sooner had the words been uttered than Tarantella and Rasputin were in the dungeon with Veronica and Alfonso. At first, all were so stunned that no one moved a muscle. The raven acted first. He skittered across the stone floor and crawled under the straw bed to hide. Rasputin had always feared dragons, especially since he'd had his tail feathers singed by one when he was young. If he had had the witch's powers, he would have just disappeared.
So this is where all the noise is coming from. Just what do you think you're doing, awakening me from a sound sleep? Your rockets rattled my home's foundations.
Gosh, we didn't mean to upset you. We just wanted to have a party. It gets real gloomy down here, and lonely, too. We thought the fireworks might attract some guests.
Who gave you permission to have a party, you young upstart? This is my forest, my castle, and my kingdom. No one does anything here without asking me first.
I'm sorry, ma'am. I don't know what came over me. You see, I have these powers I can't control, and I don't know what happens when I cast a spell. Anything might happen next.
I know. No excuses. You weren't supposed to use your magic anymore. I'm the only one who can cast spells.
But I try not to do it, Tarantella. Only it just happens.
As Veronica spoke, waving her arms in agitation, the room turned into a barnyard with chickens and roosters and pigs and ducks scurrying about. One chicken was so bold and hungry, it skittered up to Tarantella and nipped her knobby knees.
Ouch! Call this beast off!
I can't. They won't obey me. You're the only one who's queen of the forest.
Well, change the spell, then.
I don't know how. No one has taught me.
You little fool! Well, I'll have to cast a reverse spell, then. Santa's helpers, I implore, help me to this place restore everything as it was before.
Seconds later, the dungeon was no longer a barnyard. All of the animals had disappeared except for Rasputin, who was still hiding in the straw, and Alfonso, who was trying to sleep in another corner. Veronica thought to herself,
Was it such a good idea to bring Tarantella to the dungeon? Now that she's here, what are we going to do? She has all the power, and I can't count on my magic to work. And Alfonso is no help. Look at him over there sleeping. He's lost any nerve he ever had. What can I do?
Just then, a shadow passed over the room's one window. Steel bars crisscrossed the opening so tightly that only a small creature could squeeze through. Veronica wondered to herself,
could I make myself small as a mouse and escape? But with my luck, I'd end up being snatched by a cat the minute I got outside, or else I'd never remember how to change back to human form again. I'd be doomed to be a mouse forever. Besides, I can't leave without Alfonso. He needs someone to look after him.
Once again, a shadow flitted across the dungeon floor. Everyone looked up to see what had caused it, even Rasputin, who warily eyed Alfonso at the same time. Veronica raised an arm to wave at the form at the window, only to turn the dungeon into chaos again. This time there were hundreds of bats, flapping their wings and flying blindly around the dungeon, diving, then soaring, dipping low, then skimming over the tops of everyone's heads, especially Tarantella's.
Get out of here, you mangy varmints! You can't scare me! Away!
But Tarantella was too flustered by the bats and by the hundreds of mice that scurried around the floor, squeaking and stumbling over one another in confusion, to focus her powers. She wasn't used to not being in control of every situation, so was unable to calm herself long enough to call up a counterspell. While Tarantella flustered and screeched, something very strange was happening at the window. Many of the bats were beating against the bars with their wings, attracted by one single bat that was screeching from the other side of the bars, the bat that had led Anastasia to the castle. The others continued to fly around Tarantella's head, keeping her so flustered she couldn't see what was happening. All of the noise finally roused Alfonso from his slumber in the corner. He opened one eye and looked at Tarantella as she struck at the bats flying around her head, then at Veronica, who was frozen in the same stance she had taken when she accidentally cast the spell that had loosed all the bats and mice, then at Rasputin, still hiding under the straw, then at the bats beating at the window bars, trying to escape.
Well, old man, it's now or never. I either control my flame long enough to melt the bars from the window, or else we'll have to rot in this place. Well, we might have time to escape while the witch is being kept busy by the bats and the mice. I'm not going to be a dead dragon, no, sir. I'll make my mother proud of me yet. All I have to do is sniff in some air and stand up real tall and aim at the bars and think, fire, fire, burning bright. Make the bars disappear from sight.
There was a frantic flapping of wings and screeching as the bats darted away from the flame that roared from Alfonso's mouth and hurled itself at the steel bars. And then a great whoosh as the window was suddenly exposed and the bats were sucked out through the opening by the great gust of air that blew out the fire as efficiently as it had been used to light it.
Veronica, look, I did it, I did it. I used my fire and nothing bad happened. The bars are gone. We're free, we're free.
Veronica slowly lowered her arm from where it had been frozen in the air, and as she did, the remaining bats and mice disappeared, freeing Tarantella, too, from her distractions. Tarantella wasted no time once she realized what had happened.
Thought you could outsmart Tarantella, did you? Well, you'll see I'm not easily made a fool of. Rasputin, bring me my book of spells. Rasputin, where is that cowardly raven? Hiding, no doubt, under the straw. Come here, you scoundrel. I saved your hide and now you desert me. Is that gratitude?
Rasputin, my devoted friend, Tarantella wants to talk to you now.
But Rasputin was not under the straw. In fact, he was not in the dungeon at all. He had hid himself amidst the bats and flown out of the dungeon, taking the witch's book of spells with him. When Anastasia awakened, a fine gray mist floated over the trees, and fog almost hid the castle, drifting in and out of the passageways and making everything seem creepy.
Oh, brr! It's morning, but it's sure gloomy and dark. Darker even than it was last night when the full moon was shining. This place looks awful different in the daylight. And, ooh, I'm cold. Ooh, maybe it wasn't such a good idea to come here. The castle's as gloomy as a graveyard. Oh, so you're still here, Mr. Bat. Well, you brought me here. Now what do I do?
The bat flapped its wings frantically back and forth and flew up and down and back and forth as though wanting Anastasia to follow.
Okay, Mr. Bat, okay, I'm coming. Just wait till I shake the sleep out of my arms and legs. I hope there's a place down there where I can get warm.
Anastasia and the bat swooped down through the trees, immediately swallowed up by the fog that wrapped around everything like a protective cocoon. Soon they reached the castle. Anastasia landed on the ground next to a stone wall with a large opening like a window that was crisscrossed with steel bars. She muttered to herself,
"This sure is a gloomy place. Only a grumpy old witch could enjoy a spooky castle like this one. Yet there's something familiar about it, as though I've been here before."
Anastasia paced back and forth in front of the dungeon's window, agitated by the memories that were surfacing. She didn't realize that her movements were casting a shadow on the dungeon floor, attracting the occupant's attention. As she paced, she recalled a wood-paneled dining room with huge fireplaces at each end containing roaring fires, and a woman wearing her graying hair in a bun at the back of her head, and a man pacing up and down and back and forth, much as Anastasia was pacing herself, shaking his head and occasionally uttering an oath, and a horse neighing and pressing its nose against Anastasia's back, pushing at her as though trying to tell her something, to get her attention. It was in the midst of this reverie that Alfonso shot out the flames that melted the bars and caused all the bats to escape from the dungeon, followed by Rasputin the Raven. Then Anastasia remembered the scene she'd seen when she was back in the cavern, of the castle covered with cobwebs and moss, and the raven that had flown towards her.
Why, this is the very same raven, and the same castle, too. Hey! Stop! What are you doing, you nasty bird? Let go of me!
Rasputin had been waiting for this chance to outsmart the old witch Tarantella and to get away from her control, but he needed Anastasia to find the spell in the witch's collection that would free the enchanted castle and all those who had been affected by it, including Rasputin himself. He clutched the spellbook under one wing, clasped the neck of Anastasia's dress with his beak, and beat the air with his one free wing. They both rose slowly into the air, higher and higher, until they were on the same level as the tower. It had a balcony jutting out, and Rasputin gently set Anastasia down inside. It was only then that he let go of Tarantella's book of spells, dropping them at Anastasia's feet and motioning for her to pick up the book.
"What a strange bird you are! You act as though you want to talk. Well, what do you want me to do with this funny-looking book?"
Anastasia bent over and picked up the book, fascinated with the ornate black and gold binding and the unusual lettering on its cover and pages.
"You want me to read this, don't you? But it's in a language I've never seen before, and I can't understand it."
The raven flew inside the tower, cawing and motioning for Anastasia to follow him. Inside, sitting on a marble stand, was a jeweled crown made of gold. The raven picked it up in his beak, flew over to Anastasia and set it on her head. It fit perfectly. She looked down at the book in her hands and was surprised to find that with the crown on her head, she now could understand the writing.
"Why, this must be the old witch's book of spells. Let's see. The title says, The Complete Book of Spells and Incantations. There must be one in here for freeing Veronica from the dungeon, and maybe even rescuing Sammy, too.
As Anastasia held the book in her hands, the raven flew over and flipped the pages until the book was open at page 72. At the top of the page it said, A spell for removing all other spells and freeing the victims thereof.
What a smart bird you are! Let's see now, what does this say? Turn around 3 times and then look over your left shoulder. Okay, I've done that. Take off your shoes and wiggle your toes. That's easy. Close your eyes and count to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4.
While Anastasia worked on the spell that would free the others, Veronica and Alfonso remained in the dungeon with Tarantella. When the bats and the raven had swooshed out the window space, Alfonso had followed, forgetting he was much too big to squeeze through. Now he stood moaning and groaning, one not so delicate and very large leg stuck in the opening.
Oh, woe is me! If I were you to use my fire now to free my leg, I would fry it for sure. Oh, dear, why did I ever leave home?
It serves you right for trying to outsmart Tarantella. You both will be punished. Just as soon as I find my book of spells.
Haven't we been punished enough? Besides, don't you realize that you're a prisoner in here too now, Tarantella?
How dare you insinuate that I'm a prisoner in my own dungeon? This is my castle.
I know. But Alfonso is blocking the window, and the dungeon's gate is securely locked. You made sure of that. And you can't find your book of spells, so you don't know the one that would set you free.
Do you think I've learned nothing all these years as a witch? I don't need that book of spells to turn you two into frogs or even spiders.
Oh, no? Then why don't you do it?
Well, I'm not sure I want to turn you into a frog or a spider. I might prefer to leave things just the way they are and let you and that dumb dragon dry up in this place.
Well, why don't you leave then? Surely you can't prefer our company and this gloomy place to your cozy tree home.
Tarantella glared at the girl, then stomped up and down, all the while thinking to herself,
The little wretch is right. I know some minor smells from memory, but I could never remember the big ones without the book. Besides, I always flunked all my classes. The other witches really had more power than I did. This slip of a girl is a natural witch. She could make up her own spells without the blasted witch's guidebook. But I can't let her know that. I've got to get rid of her. Otherwise, she's liable to find out just how powerless I am and take over the kingdom. A curse on that wretched raven for betraying me! I thought he was too cowardly to ever try anything as foolish as running away. Why, I'll haunt his dreams until he returns to me again.
Veronica watched the witch pace the dungeon like a caged animal, expecting her to begin snarling at any minute. Veronica timidly raised a hand to get Tarantella's attention, only to turn the room into a ship rocking atop an angry ocean.
Curses! What have you done, you wicked girl? She really does have remarkable powers. A lot like me when I was a girl, and before I gave away half of my power to the one and only boy I ever fell in love with. Enough of that. This is no time to get sentimental. The girl's a danger to herself. and everyone around her, as long as she doesn't know how to control her powers. Yikes! There's a shark nipping at my toes! Call this beast off! Help! Help! Veronica, the water is coming up and over the side! This shark is going to run off with me if you don't do something!
While Tarantella clung to the ship's railing, Veronica held onto its mast, shielded from the wind by Alfonso's body, whose tail was wrapped around the mast. They all shivered and shook, wind and rain whipping them from all angles.
I can't do anything, Tarantella, but hold on. Maybe something will come to me.
Suddenly, as it had happened, the ocean disappeared. And the three of them were back in the dungeon. But this time, there was something different. The dungeon was no longer locked, and the fog that had shrouded the castle had lifted. Sunlight burst through the window opening, and in flew the raven, followed by a boy and girl who could also fly, Sammy, who was now free from his spell, and Anastasia, who was still wearing the crown the raven had placed on her head.
Sammy, yes,
your sister!
I'm so glad to
Sammy,
see you!
Please introduce me!
Veronica, this is, say, I still don't know your name!
Just then, the raven, who had been hovering over the group, flapping his wings and cawing, underwent a remarkable transformation. Scrawny bird legs fleshed out until they were those of a man, and the wings became arms raised in a gesture of joy and victory. What once was the raven's head now was a man's. He too wore a crown similar to the one on Anastasia's head, as well as a royal purple robe.
Let me introduce you to this young woman. My friends, meet Anastasia, my daughter. She has been under Tarantella's spell, just as we all have been. Welcome home, my child. You are now able to live again, which is what your name, Anastasia, means.
While father and daughter were reunited, Tarantella crept back into the shadows and tried to slip away. However, Alfonso, so excited by being free again, forgot his fear and wrapped his paws around the old witch. She beat on him with her fists and tried to pull away, but Alfonso never loosened his grip.
Unhand me, you blasted dragon! Let me go!
The king turned to see what was causing the commotion and called out,
You have my permission to destroy her, Alfonso, so she'll never cause us misery again. Though we now have her book of spells, she can still be a pesky creature. Remember how she loves to cause conflict?
Wait! I beg you, don't kill her, please!
Veronica tugged at the king's sleeve and looked imploringly at the old witch, for whom she had developed a deep fondness.
She has never been loved, and that's why she's so mean. Besides, if you do away with her, then I have no one to teach me how to control my magic, and it could be used to do so much good in this world.
She's right, Father. Give Tarantella another chance.
Very well. Since this will soon be your kingdom anyway, Anastasia, you should be the one to make the decision. Let it be as you wish, but we must hurry. Everyone's waiting for us upstairs in the great hall. There's to be a week-long celebration. Come, everyone, and bring Tarantella, too.
They all followed Anastasia and the king down the dark hallway and up into the warm light of the great hall, where Anastasia's mother waited, as well as all the lords and ladies of the court and the people who lived for miles around. And now, on warm moonlit nights, if you look real close, you might see Anastasia and her friends, Sammy and Veronica, flying high above the treetops, off on new adventures.
What a good story, Princess Tamalpa. It was worth waiting a week to find out the ending.
I think so, too. But I can't wait for the next moonlit night so I can join Anastasia and her friends.
That's right. You like to fly, too. Maybe they'll share some more of their adventures.
Or maybe I'll have some of my own to tell.
Oops, I just looked at the clock. It's time to close the story shop for today. But we'll be back next week.
Same time, same station.
Goodbye.
The Story Shop is a creation of Gail Whitmire Mills and Lily Iona Susi.